about 11:30, I should say good afternoon. I always envy the second service because you get to sleep in a little bit more than I do. I'm here to introduce our speaker today, and it's a joy and privilege to introduce Dr. P.C. Matthew. He's from India, and he heads the largest mission among families in India called Urban India Ministries. And he's here in the U.S. to attend a couple of conferences, and in between he had the time. And why am I introducing him? Because he's my one and only brother. And I'm so happy to have him. I want to thank the elders and Pastor Dave for giving this opportunity to listen to PC and what the Lord has been doing in India, and for the privilege to share the word with you. So welcome on behalf of Grace.
I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a joy to worship with God's people everywhere. I've had the unique privilege of worshiping in different churches literally every Sunday. I've been here for the last 3-4 weeks in different places, different churches, different congregations, different people of God. But as we sang, we are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And so wonderful to see this wonderful music team here. And I was just delighted to see all shades and all colors and worshiping and leading this worship service. And I want to thank God for this privilege again. I want to thank especially Pastor Dave and the Elder Bode and others who have kindly decided to fund and sponsor our ministry in India this year. And it's a joy for us to work in partnership in everywhere. And so I want to thank each one who is responsible. And of course, I've heard much about this church through my younger brother, Charles, and family, who has been immensely blessed by this church, if you didn't know about it. Especially through the ministry of the word, through Pastor Dave, and also this wonderful worship team that he's part of. And so it's always a challenge to preach in a church where there's a good preacher. I was reminded of a very junior preacher wanting to preach where there was a very senior preacher preaching. So just to kind of make it up, he went to the senior pastor and asked him, can you give me some good tips on good preaching? He said, 3 good tips. The first thing is, every message should be moving. The second is, your message should be soothing. The third is, your message should be satisfying. He picked up the clue, went and preached everywhere, and they met again after a few years. And so he asked him, how is it going? He said, fantastic. So he asked him, how do you say that? He said, because whenever I preach, I see people moving out. So I know it's moving. The rest of them who are sitting there, I see them dozing, and I know it's soothing. So he asked him, how do you say it? It's satisfying. Oh, brother, they don't call me again. I know they are so satisfied. I'm not sure you will call me again or not. If you are extremely satisfied, probably you will not. But anyway, I have a word from the Lord for you this morning. A pastor once asked his youth group, why do people call me a Christian? He didn't realize his son was sitting there in that youth group as well. So he quickly nudged his friend and he said, that's simply because they have no clue as to what he is at home. You know, there is always an unhealthy gulf that we have noticed that between what happens at home and what happens at church. At church, we are our very best. But at home, it's a different story. You know, there is a gap between what happens in our home and what happens in our church. And I believe this kind of a gulf doesn't exist, you know, in the Bible. We don't see, you know, a kind of a distinction like that, that the church is a sacred place and our home is a secret place. No. You know, we see where God resides, it is a sacred place. And this is what Urban India Ministries has been trying to establish, trying to do, you know, in India as well as outside. You know, we've been trying to kind of, you know, help people understand that your home is as important as your church. And you need to realize that God wants to use your home for His missional purpose. And our homes are mission centers, discipleship centers for His purpose and for His glory. And so I want to talk about a home that Jesus used during His earthly ministry from Mark chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, please turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. Let me read it for you. It says, "A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that He had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and He preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to Him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof about Jesus. By digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralyzed man, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.'" We read here that Jesus entered Capernaum and people heard He had come home. You know, when we read this part of the scripture, we usually focus on the faith of those four people who brought the paralytic man to Jesus. Or we talk about the healing that Jesus brings. But one thing that we miss out is the context where this incident happened. This happened in the context of a home. You know, the news went out that He has come home. Now the question is, whose home? If we don't know the context, probably we will assume it is Jesus' home. You know, but Jesus never had a home in Capernaum. This was somebody's home. If you read from Mark chapter 1, there is a clue to whose home it could be. You know, because Jesus entered the home of Simon Peter, you know, to heal his mother-in-law. And most biblical scholars would assume or would conclude that it could be the home of Peter. Now the question is not about whose home it is. The question is, you know, I mean, the thought is, this was a home that Jesus felt at home. That it was almost known as the home of Jesus. You know, when Mark was writing this, he didn't actually had to say whose home it is, because probably that time people knew whose home Jesus would come. So this was almost known as the home of Jesus, where He resides when He comes for ministry. And if somebody's home has to be known as His home, it has to be a home where Jesus felt at home. And if our homes have to be used by Jesus for His mission and for His glory, you know, there are four things that I want to pick up from this passage, and I will be through with my message. The first thing, it should be a home that honors Jesus. Unless and otherwise it is a home that honors Jesus, Jesus will not feel at home. It is not only about Jesus. If you don't honor me when I come to your home, I don't think I will want to come to that home again. And it's the same with you. You know, we would like to be honored. We would like to be respected. We would like to, you know, be given the kind of treatment when you come, you know, as a stranger, or when you go as a stranger to somebody's home. And if Jesus had to make this almost his mission center or his home for him to operate, this definitely had a lot of access to Jesus. And I believe if we want our homes to be used by the Lord, he needs access to our homes. Which means everything that happens in our home should be that which honors him. What I read, what I see, what I watch, what I do should honor him. You know, when we become familiar with people, we have more access to more rooms. If I come as a stranger to your home, if you're very good in hospitality, you may make me sit in the drawing room, offer me some coffee or tea. That's what we do in India, chai. But no access anywhere else. But if I become familiar, I become a friend, or if I'm a relative, you know, if you're cooking in the kitchen, you'll say, hey, come to the kitchen. Let's talk over there. You'll give me access. You know, probably if you're sitting in the bedroom and, you know, doing some work, you'll say, hey, can you come and sit here? I get more access because the more you know me, the more I have access. And that's the same way with Jesus. The more you know him, the more access he will have. Today, families are breaking down in big numbers simply because Jesus have no access to all the rooms, to all the space of our life. Many bedrooms have become places of frustration because Jesus has no entry there. And I believe God wants our home to be a home where he is not the guest, but he is the host. Where he will invade every area of our life so that our lives and our home will become a place where he dwells. Often we quote this verse when there is no enough people who come for our prayer meetings, at least in India, I don't know about here. When just two or three people land up for a prayer meeting, we quote this verse, don't worry, the Bible says, where two or three are gathered in my name, he is there in our midst. I often think it is a very misquoted verse. It's not when people don't come for your prayer meeting, you need to quote this. Two or three is me, my wife, and my child. Together, when we come in one accord in Jesus' name, he is there in our midst. So our home should be placed where Jesus dwells and where he is honored. And then you will see him using your home. So that's the first thing that I want to leave with you. You know, I want to expand on the word home. H is for honoring Jesus. The second is, when I look at this home, it says, when people heard that he had come home, they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. Which means it was packed with people. Not even outside the door. What a description of a crowded house, isn't it? Really crowded. The second thing, if you want your home to be used by Jesus, it has to be an open home. A home that is open for others to experience Jesus. A home that is open for the needs of others. Not a selfish home. Home. It's not a home where I've just safeguarded to see nobody enters in. Nor scare people away. Sometimes dogs can be that. In India, they put a board saying, beware of dogs. So, I mean, it's basically trying to tell people, don't come close by. Close by to our home. You know, I mean, we need an open heart to have an open home. I'm not against dogs. I have dogs in my home. So don't, oh, this guy hates dogs. No. Don't allow anything to distract the message. I love dogs. This is a home that was open for the needs of others. Ministry is often becoming an answer to somebody's prayer. Somebody who's praying in your neighborhood, your home becomes the answer. When I served the Lord as a missionary in another place than what I am now, I'm in the city Bangalore now, but I worked as a student youth worker after my seminary studies in a place called Gulbarga in North Karnataka. Now, a lot of students you know, resided there because of colleges, but not many ministries happened there. So I started visiting some of these boarding, the dorms and hostels, and invited some friends to come home, some of these youngsters. The first week we had around, 35 students. Slowly the number enlarged, and within 4 to 5 weeks we had around 100 students. There is no place in the house. It was almost like the Mark II house, filled. People were looking through the window for that 1 hour prayer meeting. And our neighbors became very concerned, because there's a lot of traffic around my home at that time. It's Wednesday, 4 to 5. So 4 o'clock, if you have seen auto rickshaws in India, it's filled with auto rickshaws because students are coming in. And so our neighbor asked one of the students, "Hey, what's happening here?" In India, they don't ask directly, So they asked one of the students, and he said, "We come here to pray." Now that student told me that, this gentleman asked. He's a medical doctor who's teaching in a medical college. So he said, that we pray here. One morning as I was observing, I saw this man, walking. He was having his morning walks. I saw him walking with his shorts and, his sneakers and all that. And when he came to my house, he stopped, put the sign of a cross, and then he went back. I thought I didn't see it correctly. So I paused, I waited. And then he came back. He stopped, put the sign of a cross, and then he went back. Wow. He has begun to see my home as a sacred place. He has begun to see my home as a church. And that scares me. So everything is observed. Everybody wants to know what's happening here. Friends, God is in need of homes like this even today. You are the answer in your street for homes that are desperately looking for help. You don't worry too much. How am I going to do it? How am I going to talk to that guy? He doesn't even look at me. Don't worry about it. Start praying. I know a friend whom I met him in a family life conference in Little Rock, Arkansas in 2004, the first time I came to US. He started his ministry in Trinidad, and he said this story. He said how he started. They were both introvert. They didn't know how to talk about God to somebody, and they didn't know how to help anybody. So they started praying, "Lord, send some hurting families to my home." They said, we started praying this without realizing that God will actually answer our prayer. Depends on what you pray for. You pray prayers of his heart, he will answer it quickly. They said, God was bringing us new people whom we have never met to our door. And sometime when they think, "Oh, today there is no one," before they sleep, they will have a phone call from somebody who's hurting. If you have an open heart, the doors will open and God will bring the right people. The third thing that I see here, it says, and he preached the word to them. So the crowd was not gathering just to see Jesus, but there was a ministry of the word that was happening. So the third aspect, if our homes need to be used by Jesus for his glory and his purpose, it has to be a home that is matured in God's word. That is continuously maturing in his word. We have nothing else to offer other than the word. Because these are words of eternal life. The words that the world is offering is not eternal. But these are words of eternal life. And that's what the world needs to hear. And we need to be centers where the word is given. Not only given to others, but as a family they grew in his word. When I look at the brothers, Andrew and his brother Simon, the Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 41, when Andrew saw Jesus for the first time, the Bible says the first thing that Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him that we have met the Messiah. So this was a home that was waiting for the Messiah. Isn't it interesting? Today we are waiting for his return. How many homes are prepared for, you know, meeting the Messiah when he comes back? How many of us have conversation around his coming back? Or we have also assumed, like many, may not be this, you know, in my lifetime. Whether it is in our lifetime or not, are we prepared to meet the King as a family? Do we talk about God's word in our homes? And God's word has to penetrate every area of our family life. And he preached the word to them. Biblical illiteracy is the sad plight of our churches today. There is a lot of feeling spirituality, but not a word-based spirituality. And we need people of the word who knows his word, thy word that I have it hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. If we need to resist the temptation of the world, we need his word and the power of his word. Because the traffic is really against us, his people. Because our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers of the dark world. And we need the sword of the Spirit to fight it. We can't take it lightly. As we were growing up, my brother, me and two sisters, one of the things that used to happen in our home on Sunday. Sunday used to be a long day, like for most of you. We went to church at 7 o'clock and came back at 1 o'clock. Because we were there in the choir, we were there in the youth fellowship, we were there in Sunday school, you name it, it was all there. We were part of everything. And then when we came back home, and morning it's kind of fasting, you know. My mom grew up in a home where they never ate in the morning when they came to church. So we also grew up the same way. So it's a little bit of forced fasting. Whatever, you know, we did fast. And when we came back home, you know, Mom started cooking food for our lunch. She has half cooked it. She's kind of preparing it hot. Meanwhile, of course, we get a little bit of, tiny bit to eat just to, you know, appease our hunger. And while she's cooking, she will open Bible for all of us, four of us, and give us different passage to learn it by heart. Sometimes Psalm 119 and Psalm 118. Different things. What she likes that day, she will say, hey, read it. And those days only King James Version. I didn't understand half of it. English is not my mother tongue, but still, anyway, we learnt it. Because if we don't learn it, we don't get food. No food. We look at her and wonder why she doesn't have a heart. But she took us through that rigorous experience because she knows that this is what is going to guard my children. She was not highly educated, but she had insight and foresight to give us what was needed, our daily manna for sustenance. And I believe if our homes need to be strong on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, the word of God has to be taken seriously and diligently. And lastly, I see this home as a home that was extremely excited about the kingdom of God. E is excited about the kingdom of God. How do I say this? You know, the house is packed. No room. Even outside. Probably, I'm just imagining when Peter was looking outside the window, he saw four guys bringing a paralytic man. Now, how do we get him inside? So he probably would have said, go up. And these guys went up. But to their surprise, they didn't find any opening there. Because the Bible says, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it. Which means definite damage on the roof. They looked up. Probably after the convention, the meeting is over, they are all looking up and they are looking at the stars. They are really seeing stars. What happened? But we don't see a home that was grumbling about what they lost. Probably that evening they praised the Lord all the more that our home has been used to bring healing to this paralytic man. Even if I lose my roof, even if I lose anything, that's okay, as long as somebody has been touched and healed. Because compared to what I lost and what has happened, oh, this is nothing. Because they were willing to bear the cost of following the Lord. If any man wants to follow him, follow me. Jesus said, let him deny himself, take up the cross and follow me. It's not easy gospel. When the light, the gospel light that we sang shines from our home, there will be damage. There will be cost. It's easy to sing, friends. Somebody said, Christians don't tell lies, they sing lies. We sing a lot. But if truly the gospel light has to shine, sometime there will be cost to pay. Are we willing to move out of our comfort zones and bear the cost? The gospel light has already been given, but we need to shine that light to others. Which means we need to get out of our comfort zones. We need to go and say hello to our neighbors. We need to probably, you know, I mean, get some smirks and other things when people, oh, what are you doing, you know, kind of a thing. But that's part of the deal. That is no easy Christianity. I close with this illustration of Francis Havergal. Francis Havergal is the one who wrote a lot of songs, and one of her songs is, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. She sang this song after she composed many, many times. She only composed the first three stanzas. And she kept singing. It says, take my life, take my legs, take my hand, take my lips, you know, take it, everything, take it all, Lord. Suddenly the Holy Spirit reminded her, What about those little things that you've been collecting, you know, those precious stones, those precious gold and silver that you've been collecting? You know, that she had a hobby of collecting these jewels, small jewelries of silver and gold. She collected everything and she's been keeping it, you know, as something that she loves. Suddenly the Lord reminded, what about that? Take my hands, take my lips, take my life is sometimes easy. You don't know it's not going to happen, no? But what about that? She was convicted. In her autobiography, she says she packed it all and she sent it for missions. And she says in her autobiography, this is the best packing I've ever done. And then she wrote the next stanza. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Lord, I don't want to withhold anything for the sake of the kingdom of God. Because this is not my eternal home. My eternal abode is what He has prepared for me. And that's where we are moving. We can't be too stuck up here with the petty things. We need to move on to achieve the goal that He has for me. I press on towards the goal in Christ Jesus. We move heavenward in Christ Jesus. And friends, this is the message that the Lord has asked me to share. A home that Jesus would use. Not only a church that Jesus would use. You know, I believe church is important. You know, but at the same time, your home is equally important. A home that honors God. A home that is open to others. A home that matures in His word. And a home that is excited about God's kingdom. I've written a book called Becoming a Missional Family. Now, I have a few copies here. If any of you are interested, this is my heart about how to make your home in very tangible ways, effective missional centers. You know, this is out of people's experience, not just some utopian ideas by interviewing people, and you know, it's a researched book. So if any of you are interested to pick up a copy, I would ask you to do so. And may God shine forth. Let the gospel light shine forth for the glory of His name, for His kingdom to be established, and for this nation to lift up the name of Jesus in the days to come. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Shall we stand up as we pray? If the Lord has spoken to us, ministered to us through the songs, through His word today, let's not let this time pass by, but make a commitment. Let's take away everything, anything that dishonors God in our home, and allow our home to be an open center for His purposes to be fulfilled. And let us mature in His word by taking His word diligently. If you don't have a family altar, will you start it today? That Jesus will be lifted up in our homes. Father, we surrender this time. We thank You for speaking to our hearts. We want our homes to be homes that honors You, Lord. Forgive our trespasses. Is there anything that we have done and left undone, which is not in Your will and in Your purpose? Please forgive us. Cleanse us, Lord. Cleanse us and make us sensitive to those things that You are sensitive about. And may the light of Jesus shine forth from our home for Your purposes to be fulfilled. To that end, we surrender ourselves. We give You all the glory, honor, power, and praise. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.